right, we're kicking off a new series today. We're calling it Together, right? I've been kind of trying to talk it up a little bit. It's all about interdependence, and we'll kind of unpack what that means here in a minute. But being together in the church, together in the body of Christ, together with the Trinity God being together, and what we're going to kind of jump into, all of that. But for those of you, any Facebook users in the bunch here, by a show of voices? Yeah, okay. All right, so it's sort of a thing. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there's a little relationship status on Facebook, right? And you can kind of choose your own adventure. And some people actually choose their own adventure weekly, and they kind of like change that frequently. You know, it's like, oh, I'm engaged. Oh, I'm not. I'm divorced. I'm separated. It's like, and then my favorite one is it's complicated. They're both in trying to understand God and understanding each other, I think it's complicated, could probably be relevant for all of us. So one of the tasks that we're going to try to do, the title of my message this morning is Together in the Trinity. So I'm just like saying it's complicated, okay? So it is complicated, but it is necessary for us to understand. If we're going to truly be the body of Christ and reflect his image, we kind of need to know who God is, right? And so we're going to look at that. But there's a lot of different kinds of relationships, right? So we're going to be talking about interdependence. You guys know this kind of story, and it's not a great story. It's a sad story. But you have a mother, and then you have a daughter. Let's just say the daughter, I don't know, is 12 years old or so. And the mother is, you know, obviously married to, you know, her husband, and things aren't going that well. And from an early age, she just begins to really confide in her daughter about things that she probably should not be confiding in her about, right? Things are not going well with dad. What should I do? You know, she starts dating another person on the side and she confides in her daughter. These things happen. And what happens over time is, right, all these roles and all these sort of boundaries get crossed, right? And so this 12-year-old daughter, you know, sixth grader, I would think, around that age, is now becoming the mother. She's now becoming the counselor. She's a friend. She's a daughter. And all of those things are happening simultaneously. One boundary has been crossed. One person has enabled. One person has taken too much territory. And then this person is caught in the middle. And that happens. It can happen on into our adult lives, right? A fancy word for this, and guys, I'm not a psychologist, so give me some slack. But this is codependence, right? Where there's these boundaries are crossed and these wires kind of get short-circuited, and man, all kinds of explosions begin to take place in our relationship. And some people have those kind of relationships, and some people have kind of a relationship with God that way. It's just, there's just not much sense of an understanding of who God is. And so there's just this really conflicted idea about who God is and who you are. There are other examples. So that's codependence. Independence. USA. USA. All right. That's us, man. Right? We are an independent. I mean, if we are known for anything around the world, and I'm saying this as someone who's lived in many spots of the globe, we are known for our independence. Oh my goodness. Individuality is such a hallmark of our culture. Some of you know this, but I'll be 43 in October. About age 27, 28 is really where I started losing most of my eyesight. And up probably from about age 25 to 28, as things were really progressing strongly, I began to really depend on Charity more than I ever had before. And it got to the point, she rarely said anything, but it got to the point where I had to be driving her crazy because I was asking her to do simple things that I was able to do in the past. And I wasn't carrying a cane. I didn't have like a dog or anything. So nobody knew I was blind. They just, I don't know, thought I was drunk or whatever, you know, in terms of like stumbling around or whatever. And it was a very confusing, painful, difficult part of my life. But what happened is I was growing dependent, and the disability rights movement is all about independence, right? You know, kind of taking your life back. And I think there's some really positive, really good things about that. So I went to this really extensive training school, and man, it was, gosh, I would put that up there with my biggest life's accomplishments, you know, in terms of gaining independence. And I really did. I was able to, you know, figure out where to go and how to, you know, they do these things in the school that I was part of, like they'd intentionally put you in a spot and get you lost in an urban center, and then you figure out your way back. It was just like, ooh, okay, game on. Okay. And it wasn't like game on in that moment. It was words that I shouldn't say from the pulpit. I mean, it was just really challenging, right? And so, but what happened is I gained independence. And while that was good, what happened is it began to affect my relationship with my own wife. And there was not really any give and take interdependence. I had taken the bull by the horns, and even in ministry. I'm like, I don't need help. I don't, what are you trying to help me for? And it really caused some major friction, not necessarily with people, but internally. Because as I'm searching the scriptures, I'm looking at the body of Christ, I'm just not finding independence real plainly in the scriptures, right? We're talking about this collective body of Christ thing. And so there's something that we want to be talking about in this series on together of interdependence, where there's give and take, where there's mutuality. Yes, there's individuality, absolutely. Yes, there's uniqueness, but the overall goal is we sometimes throw this term around in churches, body ministry, right? Where corporate kind of stuff, where there's give and take. So you guys have all seen the driver's ed cars, no? Right? And they have the, you know, you have the steering wheel and the brake and the gas pedal. I don't know that they have, do they have a steering wheel on the other side? I don't think they have a steering wheel, but they have the brake and the pedal at least. Am I right? No feedback whatsoever. Okay. I guess I am. All right. So we're going to design a new driver's ed car for the sake of this message. Okay. So in our new driver's ed car, we're going to put three steering wheels, you know, left, right side, and in the middle. Okay. I guess it has a no, you know, those old school seats, right, where you're going all the way across. Okay. And they each, under each of those steering wheels, they have a gas pedal and a brake pedal. So in our God, our Trinity God, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, one God driving this vehicle. This is a relational aspect of the Trinity God. So imagine God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Some of you need even just one representative of the Trinity with you as you're driving your car. But okay, we have all three, all right? And in that situation, they're driving and they're not steering against each other. Ever. They're pressing the gas pedal at the same speed always. They're never braking at different times. I mean, guys, I can't, as a blind person who rides with people all the time, I try to keep my mouth shut, but man, sometimes I don't know what's coming and nobody's warned me. I'm like, woo, dog, I'm not sure we're going to make it, but maybe you are. Just like braking really hard, not even know. I'm like, was that just a stoplight or was there a kid right in front of us that you about hit? You know, I just don't know those information, but with the Trinity, the Trinity God, again, just an example, there is no contention, right? There's no arguing. There's no, you know, we're going to fight for this sort of thing. But there's unity, perfect unity, sinlessness. That's the kind of relational God. That's the kind of interdependence that we're talking about with our Trinity God that we serve. And for centuries, people have been upholding that doctrine. It's not a doctrine in the American church that's even talked about all that much. We name a lot of things Trinity, but we don't necessarily, I mean, when's the last time you heard a sermon on Trinity, for example, right? But it is a very, very critical doctrine, and I think it's the foundation of this entire series that we're going to be doing together. One last thing before we're going to look at two verses here. But before we get there, if you can just sort of imagine like this series that we're going to go through. We're going to be talking about a lot of different topics, but they're all going to have this theme of interdependence, of mutuality, of together. So together in the Trinity, we're going to be talking about being together in relationships, probably addressing some of the stuff I just mentioned about like codependence. What do relationships look like, really godly relationships in the Bible? So we'll look at some different examples of that. We're going to look at together in discipleship. What does mutuality look like in discipleship? So that you're not always the expert, but you're listening and you're learning together, right? We're going to be looking at mutuality in the family and interdependence in the family, interdependence in the body of Christ. Everybody gets to play. We're well on our way, but we still have a lot to learn, right? We're going to look at interdependence in diversity, in missions. A lot of times it's in the mission circles, it's the West to the rest, or the white guys to the brown guys, and that ain't what we're about, right? We need to be mutual in our relationship of mission. And praise God for the partnerships that have developed in the vineyard. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's rare, right? And so we're going to be looking at all these different aspects over the next 2 months. I haven't named them all. I've sent them out in an email. You have them all there. But all that to say is that's kind of where we're going. We have an interdependent model of leadership here at the church. We're sharing preaching. We're sharing all kinds of things here at the church. And so we want to make sure that we're rooted and that we are really together so that it doesn't just affect us here, but it actually can translate when we get active in the community. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. You can pull it up on your phone, or if you have a hard copy, Genesis chapter 1. It's a very familiar passage, verses 26 through 28. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over all the livestock and the wild animals and the creatures that move along the ground." So God created humankind, mankind, in his own image. He created him in his own likeness. Male and female, he created them. All right, so this is Latin phrase, imago Dei. Some of you may have heard that, in the image of God. So this is all the way back at the beginning. Notice the pronouns there. Let us, I thought God was one, right? Let us make humankind in our image. As early as Genesis 1, we already see this, it's complicated, sort of relationship with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right at the beginning of the chapter, right, it says that the world was dark and void, and who was brooding over the waters? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit was brooding over the waters. So we have this Trinity God already represented right here in this first part of the Bible, and we are, and it says that God makes us people in his image, right? This reflection of God to the world. I wrote a book a few years ago called Reflecting Jesus in the City that comes from a bit of this basis here. But reflecting God in the city. So here's the situation. The Trinity is perfect. You are not. Right? The Trinity is perfect. I am not perfect, if you haven't noticed yet. You will. John 1, right? It says that the Word, or God, became flesh, right? The Word became flesh, became human. Eugene Peterson's translation, I love it, says, "The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." Well, that's an urban missionary's dream right there. I love that translation, right? It moved into the neighborhood, right? God has come into our lives. He made his dwelling among us. So one thing that I think we need to be aware of as we move and try to model interdependence and follow in the likeness of Jesus and the likeness of God is that we are not him. Right? There was only one incarnation, right? We're not going to like relive the incarnation. We only needed one. Praise the Lord for that, right? There was only one incarnation. So we can reflect him. Truly, we can follow him, but that reflection is never going to be perfect. There's going to be some distortion there. There's going to be some cloudiness there because we sin, right? We're living in a fallen, broken world. So we're not going to get it exactly right, guys. And so that's why we need to be really patient with each other, right? And we need to be forgiving of each other. Because we've all been in these situations, right? Where we're trying to reflect his image. You know, this is wonderful that God has given us dominion over the earth. But it is a fallen creation that we're under. All of you in this room have experienced relational fallout, right? You have siblings or you have family members that you haven't spoken to in years. There are churches, right? You've been part of churches where everything is going great and it's great and it's great and it's wonderful and then it isn't. And just as I share that, even now, there's like this sharp pain that comes to your chest. You remember some of those times. Betrayal, difficulty, challenge. And this is sort of the what we bump up against as we try to model interdependence. Interdependence is wonderful and it's good when we're all reflecting the Trinity to the best that we possibly can, but then when sin creeps in or challenges creep in, it can really go off the rails. Yet we're still called to risk, and we're still called to have these kind of interdependent relationship. So let's remember, I think this is a big one that I wanted to remember, is yes, we want to reflect that image of God to the world, right? Take dominion, rule over the birds of the sea and the animals, and take dominion in the world, yes, but know that we are limited, right, in our ability to do that. And so this is why interdependence is really important. N.T. Wright describes this mirroring of God's image. He's a British theologian, pretty well known. But he talks about this mirroring. It's like you're looking through an angled mirror, and with each one of us in the body of Christ, we get to see a different angle, a different lens of God in the world. What trust, right, the Lord has put to us in doing that. The last thing I'll share before we jump into one last text is there is another theologian by the name of Ibrahim Bistrus. He is from Nigeria. And he has even made the statement and the argument that God can't be God apart from community. I'll say that again. God can't be God. He ceases to be God when you remove community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has been divine fellowship from the beginning. He knows nothing else but community. I wonder, to the American church, to our individual worship that we do, if we would be willing to say that, if we can identify with the Trinity God to that degree. It really calls us out on this whole individuality piece. So we want to be about interdependence. Let's move to Matthew chapter 17. I think this will help us center this. All right, John 17. I'm sorry, John is where I want to be. John 17, 17 through 20. I lied, not my notes, so we are back to John. Sorry about that. John 17, 17 through 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as we are one, Father, I and you and me. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you've sent me and that I have loved them just as you have loved me. Right, so this is a prayer that Jesus offers really towards the end of his life before he goes to the cross. And he's praying for his disciples. If you can imagine, guys, you're reading some really old literature. Let's just imagine you're reading Socrates or Plato or I don't know. Maybe you're not into that. Michael is, if he's here. But maybe not very many others, right? But you're reading this. You're reading this ancient literature. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of this the statement or this paragraph, your name is written there. Or your picture just pops up. And this is really kind of what happens as we read this text. Jesus is praying. He's praying for his disciples. And then all of a sudden, we are there. He says, I pray that I'm praying for my future disciples, right? I'm praying for those who have not yet believed in me, right? And then what the prayer that he prays, he's got, again, this is complicated sort of relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit starts to take place. I am in you, you are in me. There's kind of like this inner penetration kind of doctrine going on. I mean, there's just this mutuality going on. And he says that I pray that that we, the church, followers of Christ, would have that kind of unity, and that unity would be exemplified in love. God is love. We know that, right? God is love, but that love cannot be visibly seen apart from community. It can't. And so that is that sort of the nature of God is being expressed here, that this unity would begin to take place. And this is the deal, guys. The Messiah doesn't actually get to be seen in the world without unity, without that love. Jesus has is an incredible risk, from my perspective at least, that God takes with us, that this unity and this love, that's the thing that is going to convince the world that I was the one who was sent, that Jesus was the Messiah. So we're thinking about this interdependent God and this conversation, this fellowship that is going on through this prayer. What Jesus does is a really an incredible invitation, but he invites us into that fellowship. He invites us into that prayer. Some of you have had relationships and you've known relationships that are very one-sided, right? You give and give and give, and you're like, man, do I always have to be the one who sends the text? Do I always have to be the one who calls? I mean, I'm kind of getting weary of being that person. But in the Trinity, there is none of that. There's this mutuality. There's this conversation. There's this fellowship that takes place, and we're invited into that. And we're to be reflecting, right? We're to be reflecting that image to the world. So I think where I'd like to go in the last minutes that we have here is kind of trying to connect this to this imaging that is taking place in Genesis, right? There is this interdependence, certainly, that is modeled in the Godhead of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are supposed to be reflecting his image, right? As we look at all these topics throughout these next few weeks, in family, and relationships, and discipleship, and all these different areas, even in justice and compassion, we are to be reflecting his image. And so, image is an important word. Imagination, I think, is a word that is troublesome for some Christians. Like, oh, we're going to like play with toys and, you know, imagine if I was actually in Candyland and whatever. Not so much. Can do that if you want. I mean, I don't know if there's nothing necessarily wrong with imagining that you're on Candyland, but that's actually not what I want to do this morning. But I want us to imagine, looking to this fact that we are created in the image of God, to imagine God's kingdom and to imagine what it would be like or what would it look like if you were truly in this interdependent relationship and fellowship with the Lord. Not to say that you're not now, but in a more robust way, in a way that you are going to God and praying to him, knowing that you are in fellowship with him. An imagination for what true interdependent relationships could look like in your family and in your friendships and at your workplace. Imagining, this mystery of the Trinity kind of flowing out into areas of justice and areas of compassion. Guys, I think sometimes our imagination is so small. I've come as a new pastor here, and there's lots of, you know, different talk and ideas of stuff, and I have some ideas. And even my own ideas, you know, some of my ideas I feel like that I've just a little bit mentioned to the pastoral care team, they're so darn small. But God is actually asking us to imagine the fullness of who he is. I mean, he created the stars and the sky and galaxies that we still have yet to discover. He created all of these wonderful things. He's inviting us in a relationship. I think we need a renewed imagination for how God can show up in family. This interdependence, this mutuality, how he can show up in the community. Even in very specific ways that God would be pushing us out and pushing us out. Oh, we can have all these different excuses of why we couldn't do that or why we shouldn't do that. We can create all kinds of excuses. I'm asking this pretty direct question, rather than having any kind of excuses or I couldn't because I'm this or I'm that, but imagining that you are in fellowship with the Trinity and imagining that He is pushing you and He is propelling you into these nooks and crannies of society where his fame and His name is not yet known. And you can imagine, use your imagination to go there in those areas of your life. So on the one hand, you might have relationships that just need just great repair. You might have just situations just right before us that need that. And I'm encouraging you to invite God into that. There is this mystery taking place. Let us not, guys, let us not keep our reflection of God to be so small. But like, let's dream crazy dreams for God. Let's think of crazy things that the Lord can do. I think that's just so critical. If we're going to move forward as a church, we're going to move forward in our lives, let's dream big. Let's dream big. And more than that, let's honor Him with our obedience in that. You know, not just to imagine and keep it here, but to really, really imagine that together.